Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and we are live from the Green Space. Coming up on our show today, we have a live performance from the progressive string band known as Punch Brothers. But I'm joined on stage first by guitarist Khaki King. For 10 years, King's been honing her signature fret-tapping technique, and a few years back, it earned her a spot on Rolling Stone magazine's list of new guitar gods, along with people like Jack White and Tom Morello. And over the years, she's kind of expanded that arsenal of sounds, including some other instruments, big-name collaborators, a backing band. Lately, though, she's wanted to get back to basics. And that's what you're going to hear. Khaki King, solo, acoustic, with some songs so new they're not even titled yet. Here's one of them. Ladies and gentlemen, Khaki King, live from the Green Space. Khaki King, live in the Green Space with Song for John, let's
Song for
John,
I love it, perfect. Song for Schaefer.
New untitled number. This really is back to the way we first heard you.
It is, yeah.
You, the guitar, no singing, no backing band and stuff. I mean, each of your albums has seemed to be a kind of a progression from the one before. Why now, you know, come back to the basics?
Honestly, I had a moment where I didn't identify as a guitar player as much as I did with this other stuff, and I think I let a lot of distraction into my musical life, and it was really fun and exciting, and I loved having a band, and I loved playing dirty rock clubs. I loved it. I mean, I had a great, interesting life, but then it just became, you know, well, then, like, look, I made 5 albums. What do I do? And, like, really what I do best, and when I feel that I'm expressing myself best, is with this. And, you know, even though every record was different, it was all written. You know, Dreaming of Revenge, which is an interesting record, was written totally solo guitar. I thought that was going to be a solo guitar record. So while I'm, you know, performing is a sort of back to the basics kind of thing. Like that the basics have never changed for me.
Right.
So, you know, but I've played guitar for 28 years. I mean, it's like a really weird relationship you have with this thing after such a long time. And so I lost it for a minute. I just didn't love playing guitar and I got that back, which I'm really happy about.
So, you recently tweeted, "It's about time to make a new record."
Oh man, I am
What
busted.
Do you guys think? Sort of asking your Twitter followers to weigh in.
Yeah.
So, are you thinking that maybe some of these things you're playing for us today might be part of the next
record? Yeah, they hopefully they will be. Yeah, Twitter, man. Every time I do anything on Twitter, I get in trouble.
Well, can I just, you know, I tell my kids this. It's like, if you put anything online, it's going to be there forever. It's like, people think, I'll just do this a couple of people.
But at the same time, you know, in an honest way, I mean, I do get a lot of, people do really write back to me. And they do give, they do say great things. And they say, well, I think it should be like this. Or I think that, I miss this sound. Or I love that song. Or that, you know, and people kind of do give me the constructive criticism, like, from fan to me, which sometimes doesn't always happen. So in a genuine way, I was asking what people thought.
All right. Can I tell you what I think?
Yes.
I would like to hear on your next album.
Great. Anything you want.
Khaki and I were in Adelaide, Australia a couple of years back for the Adelaide International Guitar Festival, and you did a complete deconstruction of Jimi Hendrix's Hey Joe.
It was pretty far out.
Which was so weird.
It was
so willfully weird. I would love to hear that again.
All right. I will see what I can do. It was like, "Hey Joe. Where are you going with that gun in your hand?" And that's how it started, and it just went weird. You're right.
Yeah. So maybe not for the next
one. For you, though. I'll do a special recording.
All right. Now, you've got a couple of guitars here. You're going to stick with this one for this next
piece?
Sure,
yeah. I'm going to add my little foot.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, this is, you know, this is like a standard-looking wooden box that we've actually mic'd.
No, this is a very expensive, custom-made foot-stomping machine, John.
Okay. It is a very impressive device.
It has all six panels. It used to hold spoons, but now it... Now I'm going to hit on.
Now its job is to simply provide a kind of percussive accompaniment. Yeah. So another untitled piece, new music from Khaki King, live from the Green Space. Thank you. Once again, Khaki King, live in the green space on Soundcheck today. And for those of you listening at home, you should be watching as well. You can watch our webcast live online at wnyc.org/soundcheck. That kind of percussive way of playing the guitar, was that the way you approached the instrument when you first picked it up?
Not when I was a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
That is generally how babies treat guitars.
Well, yeah, now that I think about it, I was 4, going on 5. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't remember doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that when I started becoming... I had a knowledge of guitar by the time I was a teenager that was good enough to go, okay, well, now do I become a jazz player, or do I study classical, or do I do shreddy heavy metal stuff? Like, what am I going to do? And I kind of found this fourth way of detuning and, you know, and listening to solo guitar players, of which I know you know a lot about. And really it was like, well, I'm hearing everything. I'm hearing bass, I'm hearing drums. How do I apply that to the guitar? And that's really what what influenced my playing, was listening to these guys make these great solo guitar records that didn't need any accompaniment. You know,
so you mean people like the late Michael Hedges,
mm-hmm. and Alex Zagrotsky, and
Leo Kottke,
and Fahey, and even guys like Nick Drake and Mark Kozelek, and that's this kind of cool, weird guitar that was this like alternate to all the mm-hmm. sort of other stuff I'd heard.
Right. And that kind of guitar playing can be very versatile as well.
Yeah.
As we found out in January when you did a score for mm-hmm. One of the Buster Keaton films. It was mm-hmm. Scarecrow, right?
Yeah.
For the New York Guitar Festival. You've done some other... You've had some other kind of tangential relationships with the film industry, haven't you?
Yeah.
Anything stand out for you as a particularly memorable or formative time?
You know, the August Rush thing was interesting because...
Now, this is the film about the boy who's a virtuoso
yes,
player.
He's a virtuoso music prodigy. So I already hate him. You know, like, I'm already rolling my eyes. Okay? Like, whatever. And he's living in an abandoned church in Harlem. Again, rolling my eyes. As if. But, you know, it's a children's movie. It's a family movie. It's a beautiful film. But what they wanted me to do was re-record some of the music and make it sound better. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I mean, this is Michael Hedges' piece we're talking about. You know, it was really hard for me because I couldn't go and ask permission, you know. Michael Hedges is deceased. And so I did that, and I sort of took it. I said, okay, I'll make it. It wasn't that I needed to make it sound better. I needed to make it sound so it would look better
mm-hmm.
or look more interesting. And that's what I did.
And you were also the body
hand double.
The hand
yes.
double.
So I recorded the music, and the actors, Freddie Highmore, and I filmed myself playing the guitar, and what they wanted to do was have someone, because he did a really great job.
Uh-huh.
You know, they showed me the film, and I was like, it looks perfect. He looks like he's playing the song. And they said, yeah, but we want it to look more... cool.
Shreddy.
So, yeah, they wanted it to look like put their hand over the neck. And, you know, which was, I get it. And so at the end of the day, they said, we can't, you know, it's just not going to work with his schedule. And it was reshoots. And, you know, will you be the
mm-hmm.
the
will
hand
you be
double?
The hands? Yes.
So I actually had to get in his costume. It was fun.
Uh-huh.
I don't really act. So I got to be like talent. I got to be in the trailer. They're not as nice on the inside. I say it was a, you know, a really well-paid hand job.
We're speaking with the brutally honest Khaki King here in the green space today. Now, you've switched over to an instrument that I don't believe I've seen before. It looks like... a 12-string guitar, except maybe one that's like kind of been in...
It's kind of stunted.
It's been shrunken somehow. What is this?
This is an amazing instrument. It's called a Griffin. And Joe Viette is a luthier in Woodstock. And, you know, this is the kind of thing... I think I played one for the first time maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And as soon as I played it, I knew I had to have one. it's just this bright, happy, little weird thing. And I mean, my whole search in music life has been, how deep can I get? How low can I tune my guitar? How much bass can I get? So this is a real turnaround for me.
Mm. So it's a high-strung, 12-string kind of parlor-sized guitar.
I mean, piccolo size? I don't know piccolo, how you'd have to...
It's pretty small.
Really, he makes stuff that's just really not definable, but it's cool.
And you got a new piece to play on this as well.
I do.
All right, once again, it's Khaki King, live in the Green Space. Khaki King, live in the Green Space, on soundcheck. And another brand new untitled piece played on this high-strung 12-string guitar. I've changed my mind. I want that piece to be Song for John.
Absolutely. Song
that
for
first piece was garbage. I want... No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know.
wow, what a sound. I mean, you know, almost halfway between a guitar and a mandolin.
Yeah.
And this kind of banjo figuration that you're playing. You know, we got Noam Pikelny and Chris Thiele with their actual banjo and mandolin waiting to come on.
They're probably mad.
I would be.
How dare she?
So, I don't think I've asked you this in all the time I've known you, but Khaki. Is that short for something?
Yeah, short for Catherine.
And where
I can't believe you didn't know that. Khaki came from being really small, and I didn't have the... Catherine Elizabeth King is so long, and I was so little. And so it was like a baby nickname that just stuck through all my years. I mean, it never... I'm Khaki in all the yearbooks. I mean, it's my little name. It's always been my name. People think it's a stage name, and it's not.
All right,
maybe it was when I was an infant, you know, my infant stage.
But now it's Khaki King. She's got a bunch of records to her credit and another one sort of germinating right
indeed.
Here on the stage of the Green Space today.
Well, I figured let's take a nice little risk.
All right. Khaki, thank you so much.
Thanks
it really
for having
was a great
me.
Set.
Thank you.
Khaki King, ladies and gentlemen. And don't forget, you can tune in now to our live webcast from the Green Space at wnyc.org/soundcheck, where I'm told while we were talking about that film August Rush, our crew in the production studio was actually posting a portion of that, a video clip on our webpage. You can check that out as well. In a moment, the Newgrass Quintet Punch Brothers takes the stage. This is Soundcheck live from the Green Space.